Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Topi Jana Valaba Irivaradari Yashodanandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashodanandana Brajajana Ranjana Ramunati Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Valabha Girivaradhari Yashodanandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashodanandana Brajajana Ranjana Ramunati Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Valabha Girivaradhari Yashodanandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashodanandana Brajajana Ranjana Amunati Ravanachari Amunati Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, entitled The Killing of Demon Putana, Verse 3. We'll read chant line by line. You repeat after me. Nayatra Shavanadini. Rakshognani sva karmasu kurvanti satvatam bhartur yatu dhanyas chatatrahi Nayatra Shravanadini Rakshognani Sva Karmasu Kurvanti Satvam Bhartur Yatu Danyascha Tatrahi Nayatra Shravanadini Rakshognani Svakarmashu Kurvanti Satvam Bhartur Yatu Danyascha Tatrahi. Anyone like to chant? Ayatra Shavanadini Yakshagnani Svakarmashu Ranti Satvam Bhartur Yatu Danyascha Tatrahi Ayatra Shavanadini Akshavanakarmashu. Ayatra Shavanadini Rakshagnani Svakarmashu Rivanti Satvam Bhartur Yatu Danyascha Tatrahi. Any Matajis? Ayatra Shavanadini Akshagnani Svakarmashu Yatu Danyascha Tatrahi. Anyone else? Okay, so we'll read word by word transliteration. Na, not. Yatra, wherever. Shravana Adini, the activities of Bhakti Yoga beginning with hearing and chanting. Rakshagnani, the sound vibration to kill all danger and bad elements. Svakarmasu, if one is engaged in his own occupational duty. Kurvanti, such things are done. Satvatam Bhartuhu, of the protector of the devotees. Yatudanyaha, disturbing elements, bad elements. Cha, also. Tatrahi, there must be. Translation. My dear King, wherever people in any position perform their occupational duties of devotional service by chanting and hearing Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnaho, there cannot be any danger from bad elements. Therefore, there was no need for anxiety about Gokula while the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami spoke this verse to mitigate the anxiety of Maharaj Pariksit. Maharaj Pariksit was a devotee of Krishna, and therefore, when he understood that Putana was causing disturbances in Gokula, he was somewhat perturbed. Sukadeva Goswami therefore assured him that there was no danger in Gokula. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Namashraya Kari Yatane Tumi Thakaha Apana Kaje. Everyone is thus advised to seek shelter in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and remain engaged in his own occupational duty. There is no loss in this, and the gain is tremendous. Even from a material point of view, everyone should take to chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra to be saved from all kinds of danger. This world is full of danger, padam padam yad vipadam. Therefore, we should be encouraged to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so that in our family, society, neighborhood, and nation, everything will be smooth and free from danger. Om Agyanati Vandasya Gyananja Shalakaya Chakshurim Tam Gyena Tashmai Shri Guru Venamaha Shri Chaitanya Vanabhishtam Sthapidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadandikam Vandaham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaguna Raghanathanvitam Tam Sajivan Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanavitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sukadevi Pramami Hari Priye Vancha Katpadruvyascha Kripa Sindhuvyasivacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namanamha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you for chanting with me. It's a very special occasion today of Lord Balaram's appearance. And it's certainly very fortunate we're all here. And I in advance apologize for any shortcomings of this lecture. It's my first time speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, so if the lecture runs a little short or something, please come up with some questions and we make up the difference. But I had a chance to outline a few points that the verse makes, and also from Srila Prabhupada's purport for this verse. So we go over those points and see what we learn. And speaking for my own purification mainly, but if anyone benefits, that will be, my Guru Maharaj will be happy with my endeavors here. Thank you for letting me give this lecture. I really appreciate it, helping me fulfill my spiritual master's instruction to give lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you so much. You're welcome. So this verse is a very encouraging verse to begin with. Have you ever pondered what it is like to go through life without feeling an anxiety? Have you ever pondered that? Or I'm sure someone has. Like, well, it would be nice to have no anxiety, material anxiety. It would be so nice. But it's not like that. Even for devotees, there's anxiety. Of course, we can say that it's a different type of anxiety, but still, the anxiety is there. But this verse is encouraging us to chant. There are 9 processes of devotional service, starting with chanting and hearing. And I'm sure you know all of those. I just wrote them down because I may not remember. But let's list all of them, and then we go back to our point. There's hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord, remembering the Lord, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping a deity, which you nicely do over here, praying the orders of the Lord or through your spiritual master, carrying out his orders, becoming friendly, serving Krishna in a friendly manner, and offering all that one possesses to the Supreme Lord, full surrender. So these are 9 main processes of devotional service, and the verse focuses on hearing and chanting. And it's very encouraging, like I was saying, because if you chant properly, there will be no anxiety. The difficulty is, most people don't chant, and many devotees, speaking for myself, mostly chant with offenses. There are some offenses, and so you may not feel like it's working the way it's supposed to work. Sometimes I ask myself this question, why am I still feeling anxious? Why am I troubled by stress? Why am I still getting angry? And emotions like that, because we're chanting. But the thing is, we should chant properly. So one of the important things is obviously understanding, philosophical understanding of the Mahamantra, and trying to be attentive. It starts with your attention. The verse encourages us to chant, and what follows is, there is no danger from bad elements. There is no anxiety. People in this world focus my attention on the activities of our society, because our mission is to share knowledge with them, not necessarily in addition to conversing about Krishna. Without one another, we should come out and share with others what we have, the glories of Krishna, prasadam, everything. So our society is in trouble. They're struggling very hard with the 6 senses, which include the mind. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, I believe, verse 7, let's see, 15. Mama evam sho jiva loke jiva butak sanatanaha manak sastkhandriyani praktisthani kashati. Translation: the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the 6 senses, which include the mind. So the society is struggling, and sometimes you may obviously relate to ourselves, like we're struggling too, but today we want to focus mostly on how we can help the society outside of our exclusive Krishna consciousness movement, how to share with them, how to bring more individuals into our movement. So they're struggling very hard, and elsewhere in the scriptures it says that there are 4 types of sufferings or pains that come our way. There are pains that come from others, obviously. Someone says something bad to you, offends you, the boss at work, some of you have jobs, they may say, they give you a remark, you know, you're not doing great, your review is not favorable, you're not going to get a raise this quarter, you have to wait, you know. Sometimes they just upset with you and say something. So many things come from others, mainly by word of mouth. And words are very powerful. They can hurt, whether they come from devotees, especially from devotees, but let's say someone who is not officially a devotee, they say something, it may hurt. You know, we're human, we have feelings, so this type of suffering. And can you imagine, like, many people, they don't have the philosophical understanding that devotees have, and then they just yell at each other and hate each other. It's amazing when you go about your day, you can witness so many pitiful and very unfortunate events. It can bring you down, actually. So people, suffering can come from others. Suffering can come from Mother Nature. When you watch the news, some people watch the news, I know at work that many of my people I work with, they watch the news, they tell me each time they see me, hey, Ark, did you know? They know me by a different name. Did you know that, you know, this happened and that happened? I tell them, oh, I don't, but thanks for telling me. And then throughout the day, people tell me what's going on in the world, and it's not very pleasant, you know. People are fighting. Mother Nature is not happy. Mother Nature punishes the society, human society, for neglecting Mother Nature, abusing the different cataclysms, floods, droughts, earthquakes, and so forth. So suffering from others, suffering from Mother Nature, and the suffering that you can say it's from Mother Nature too, because this body, this physical body, comes from Mother Nature. There's suffering of the body. As a side note, I work in the fitness industry, and I work with people, you know, physical therapy and training. So they come to me with different physical ailments, and they ask me, hey, could you do something for my knee? I can hobble, I can't walk. Could you do something for my back? You know, what kind of exercises do I do so I can feel great when I sit at work? I tell them usually, well, don't sit so much at work, you know, move around. So people, I can observe every day, people have many different problems. And sometimes they get sick, they cancel our appointment. We have, you know, appointments, hourly appointments at the gym. And they cancel, say, oh, you know, I'm sick, or I had an accident, I cannot make it, my car is all wrecked, you know, or, you know, I say, so I reply to them, oh, I'm glad you're alive. So all these things happening, the body is suffering, and arguably the highest, the biggest suffering that comes to us is from our own mind, because our own mind is responsible for how we interpret what's coming from outside. So the mind is like an entity. It's not truly us, but we can perceive the world through the mind. So if the mind is not purified by a spiritual process, the mind will cause suffering. It's like a different entity that is very close to us, and it gives you those punches and all those sensitive spots. And I'm sure many of you throughout your lives have experienced different types of suffering. And the mind and mental suffering, sometimes people say, Ark, or they know me by a different name again. So they say, listen, I'm exercising, I'm doing this, I'm still not happy. I, you know, I can walk okay now and I can run, but I don't feel great. I think I will take a little break here, and then I'm going to see my psychologist. So there's this difficulty, and people seek some solutions. They want some solutions. Okay, maybe I can work out with this fitness trainer. Maybe I can see a psychologist. Maybe I can see someone to help me with my mind. They recognize that it's a problem. Some people don't recognize it at all. They think that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, I'm angry. I'm going to say something not very polite to others, and I'm just gonna, I can beat someone, you know, beat them up, you know, that's the worst thing that can happen, beat someone up. People suffer differently, their own bodies, their own minds. Four types of suffering, I'm sure you've heard this so many times, but I guess what I'm trying to make a point that we can see how other people are suffering even more than devotees are, just because they don't have the right vision that we do, the vision that facilitates transition of our consciousness into another realm. And those people are suffering very much. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 8, I'm not sure which verse it is, but he says from the lowest planet in the material world to the highest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death happen. And there is no way out of this cycle unless you take to a spiritual process, different types of spiritual processes. And what's recommended in this age of Kali Yuga is the process of Bhakti Yoga, specifically chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But people don't know about this. They do not appreciate, first of all, many people do not even appreciate any spiritual knowledge. Second of all, they may be confused as to which spiritual process may be applicable or to their liking or good for them or effective. They don't know, they're confused, and if we do not help them out, they will be going back and forth. You know, this human form of I may be going a little bit lower to the animal species of life, and then maybe, hopefully, again to the human form of life, and maybe up to the demigod stage. But that takes a lot of pious activities, and many people don't even know how to perform pious activities, what to speak of becoming spiritually situated on the right platform. So people are suffering, and there is no way out of this for them except when someone shares that knowledge with them. Prabhupada makes a point, or the verse makes a point somewhere, that there are great benefits to chanting. As we know, there are different types of benefits that come from chanting. First of all, we can always present it to outsiders that when you start chanting the Maha Mantra, your material pains will also be alleviated. It's not that you're just going to get something spiritual that they may not appreciate in the beginning. Your material sufferings, there's immediate relief from distresses. And many devotees notice, I can take myself as an example. I was not officially engaged in any kind of spiritual path, so now I am formally trying to become spiritually situated, but before that I was suffering and trying to look for different ways to get out of the suffering. It took me quite a few years, but the point is that when I luckily saw my Guru Maharaj for the first time in school, I was going to college, taking some philosophy lessons, some classes, and it was kind of boring. But I was looking for something deep, something that would somehow alleviate my suffering. So I was looking specifically for some less mental suffering. You know, physical suffering, I didn't mind it much, because I was always engaged in the exercise and like inflicting pain on my body for whatever reason. But mentally, I was suffering. I was not happy. I was not happy. So when I first came in contact with my Guru Maharaj years ago in one college, and he told me, he wrote this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on the board, and he had Bhagavad Gita in his hand, I was immediately interested and asked him some questions. And after some time, I started to practice the chanting. I didn't follow the rules yet. Devotees who are serious, they follow the rules. But at that point, I started chanting. And after some time, it felt great. It felt like, you know, my mind is working differently. I felt, you know, I'm not so much in pain when some other people say something. It's not very nice to me, and I have a reason to get angry, but somehow it doesn't get to me as much. So there was some kind of pain. The pain was alleviated on the mental platform. I appreciated it in those beginning stages. Similarly, we can share. I'm sure you have some of these experiences yourself, similar. You can share this with others who may not appreciate the Maha Mantra for its spiritual effect. They were just you can say it, but then they will maybe start chanting just because they want to you know, stop seeing their psychologist or, you know, be less less angry at home to their spouse and children. So they may take up this Maha Mantra for a different reason, and obviously it's good to check on them and then try to see that they truly appreciate the Maha Mantra for what it is. But going back to the point, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra alleviates material suffering as well, and it brings all auspiciousness. Even if you take myself as an example again, you may not feel the taste sometimes, and you just do it because you took a vow and you know it's good, and sometimes it doesn't feel so great to chant. And you can just still keep going and chant. And even though you may not chant the way it doesn't feel great to you, you don't relish the taste, like the book says you should relish. At a more advanced stage, it brings effect. It brings, alleviation of material sufferings and also benefits all other entities around you, even though you may not be chanting purely. So there is no harm in chanting at any level. So all auspiciousness for all other living entities, plants, animals, other human beings. I'm sure you have many examples to give about how other people benefited from your own chanting. And then when you advance more, when you follow your guru's instructions, follow the rules nicely and serve the devotees and the Guru Maharaj, then later you'll feel some taste, and then you feel some transcendental pleasure. And then last but not least is the effect of the mantra is its ability to attract protection and love of Krishna. And it's very special benefit that devotees appreciate, that they feel confident that just because I chant, Krishna will take no note. You know, I'm chanting. Whatever stage you're at, you're chanting and Krishna takes note, and eventually you relish some taste. You're gradually reviving your relationship with Krishna, and devotees appreciate this statement, and individuals from outside may not necessarily appreciate at that level, but they can certainly try to understand it at least by reason. And then if they start the process, they may appreciate it by experience. The ability to track and protection of Krishna, because as the verse says, therefore there was no need for an anxiety about Gokula, while the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present. Because when you chant the holy name, Krishna is personally present. He is the holy name. Since He is the holy name, if you chant, it's just like Krishna is with you. And it's a fact. It's a question of how much you appreciate this fact. And if Krishna is right next to you, and you appreciate it, why should you be fearful? Why should you be fearful? Why should there be any anxiety? So these are the four effects of chanting. And Srila Prabhupada strongly encourages us. Therefore, we should be encouraged to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so then our family, society, neighborhood, and nation, everything will be smooth and free from danger. How nicely said. Everything will be smooth and free from danger. It's amazing. Another, what I found really effective in my preaching endeavors outside is that you can, many people are afraid that they will have to give up something and before they can start practicing bhakti yoga. But we don't have to stress you know, forcing the rules and regulations on them in the beginning. It is sufficient that they appreciate the prasadam and, you know, read some books and then maybe chant once in a while, maybe, you know, when they remember. And then gradually the holy name works automatically. It will purify them to a point where they can get more regulated, and suddenly they wake up one day, it's like, oh, you know, I don't feel like actually eating, you know, meat. I don't know why I need it. The realization will come to them in due course of time. So we don't need to, from my experience, like, we don't need to force on them the rules and say, okay, here's the chanting and here's the rules. I'm sure you've thought about this, what kind of approaches to adopt, to take, in preaching, in your preaching endeavors. But what I found effective in my preaching endeavors is that you encourage them to eat prasadam, give them some books, and be nice to them. Whatever they say, try to be nice. Don't offend them. People who are in a material state of consciousness, they may be sensitive to some issues. Like, one time I had this engagement with this elderly person, and he appreciates my service with the how to help his body. But sometimes he tells me something about politics, and I try to appreciate it for this, even though I'm not really interested in politics. So one time I just inadvertently mentioned that I don't vote, you know. I just don't feel like I have any faith in the individuals who are out there, and I just don't even, from what I hear, I don't even want to learn more about them. So I thought, I voted once in my life, and that's it. And he was really upset. He got upset, and I'm like, oh, whoa, you know what, I remember what you said. I will do my best to learn more about the politicians and the candidates, and I will try to vote. So I was renewing my driver's license, and I remember what he said, and then they ask you, do you want to vote, and give you a voter's card? So I said, okay, I remember what he said. I said, you know what, I'm just going to take this and fill it out. So I plan on voting, and when I vote, for whatever that's worth, I will call this guy and say, hey, listen, you know what I did, you'll be happy. I voted. And so he may be actually more, he may be happy at one level, but he may be more ready to listen to what I got to say about things that had nothing to do with politics. So the point I'm trying to make is to make people comfortable, let them talk, let them do what they do. Don't try to force too much on them, the discipline. The discipline will come later. Just tell them, you know, the happiness that you have. Listen, here's a nice book. Here's a nice nice process, you know, chanting. You can add it to anything. You don't have to change anything. I remember my Guru Maharaj told me years ago, oh, you don't have to change your life. Just keep going to school, learn what you can, get, you know, continue with your job, and just add chanting, you know, and read Bhagavad Gita. And I remember that, oh, okay, I don't have to give up my exercise, I don't have to give up my family. Everything is there. But what was changing over the years is the your point of view, your thinking, how you think about school, how you think about your job. So you're doing the same things, you know, more or less perfectly. Nothing is perfect, whatever you do in the material realm, but your consciousness will be changing. Your consciousness will be changing. You can mention it to the individuals you give the books to. They listen, you know, you'll be able to do your job better, you know. You'll be a better banker, you'll be a better businesswoman, you'll be a better, you know, hairstylist, you know, if you chant this mantra. And it is true. You can be. There is no need to renounce. The true renunciation, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, comes from within. So externally, you just keep doing your duties, and I'm sure many people from outside will be encouraged to take up the practice of Krishna consciousness if you mention to them that they don't have to change much. They just add the Hare Krishna mantra to their life. And then gradually, everyone is a little bit needs a little bit a different approach, and it is up to us to be sensitive to their needs and to give them the right amount of knowledge that they need, and eventually they will, if you have a good approach, they will take up the practice and will benefit from your effort. It looks like we're running a little bit late. I think I mentioned most of the points that I plan on mentioning, and if there are any questions, I will be happy to try to answer by your mercy. Sorry for all the imperfect presentation, but I appreciate any questions you have. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Very nice class, thank you, about chanting. It's my favorite topic. Arjuna Gopal is your name?
Was that?
Your name is Arjuna Gopal?
I didn't introduce myself. It's Arjuna Acharya Das.
Arjuna Acharya Das, thank you. I'd like to know, remember the devotee's name.
Yeah, actually.
I travel a lot between Michigan and Arizona on the train, and I see such a great territory that practically there are no devotees. So when the movement first started, it exploded. There was many devotees. It was the counterculture. It fit right in. It's Krishna's arrangement. But now I see that so many people out there are surfacing. How can we in your experience, how can we go out and spread this Krishna consciousness, which is the only solution for the mental anguish, the body anguishes, all the anxieties that we have? What can we do to increase or speed up this movement?
I appreciate your question very much, and I'm sure many great devotees like this ask the same question. How can we share this movement with more individuals so they become happy and don't suffer? From my experience, my little experience that I have, I can say that you have to adapt to, because we have a good philosophical basis, and we are supposed to be strong even amidst material distractions. So we have this anchor, you know, we have it. We can adapt to other people, so they do not feel like we're different, so much different from them in our lives. And when you understand and truly care for some of their material concerns, they open up. They open up and they're ready to, yeah, you know what, I'll go to the temple. When is the next holiday? They will be more open if they see that you're shut down. You shut down, and you only talk spiritual. You only talk, you know, rules and chanting. Get up in the morning. They will not be very motivated. So I think that the answer lies in the way we adapt to approach them. We have to adapt. We have to put a special uniform. They don't see us as spiritual beings. They just see us as just another person, just another. Oh, he's like me. He has pains. His back is sore. You know, he's got problems at home, like me. We can use this strategy to hide our true mission and gradually reveal it to them. And we have to be strong ourselves, because we may be affected by their material consciousness and even fall down. It may happen, but you know, get close to them enough to take them out. If you don't get close to them like that, they may not appreciate your approach.
What you're saying is to be friendly with them, and on an individual basis. So
exactly.
And what I heard you say is that we need to be strong also. We have to be fixed in our Krishna consciousness. So this kind of equates or is comparable to this, in my experience too, because I worked for many years surrounded by non-devotees, and, but they always seemed to appreciate that I was never angry and that I did my job very well.
Yes.
You know, and I was talking to Mahabala Nitai, you know Mahabala Nitai?
Sure.
He said, the devotees, they're the best employees. They never show up for work drunk. They're always very conscientious about their duties. They never get angry, or they never talk back to the boss. You know, they just they have very good service attitude. So, but it's a very slow way of expanding the movement one by one. But I'm hoping there'll be some
yes
empowered individual
sure
that will attract the minds
right
like George Harrison, for example.
Yeah, so he was great. It's amazing. I actually used in my preaching the higher taste, not the higher taste, the Chant and Be Happy book, and I said, hey, you know, I use it a lot to use George, who was just like, you know, people could relate to him. That's why they appreciated his spirituality, because they could relate to him at one level. I mean, we'd like to, I think, like to say that Srila Prabhupada certainly wants quality preaching, and if we have our sadhana, we will do, you know, quality preaching, and people will be more attracted to the movement. You know, you cannot, like, even many people can relate to this from outside, actually. Like, if you don't have something, you cannot give it to others. So let's say we may be talking about discipline to others, like, oh, you have to get up in the morning, do the chanting. I used to preach like that, and it didn't work. You have to do this, this, and this, and then it works. And no, it didn't work. But you know, I was not necessarily disciplined myself, but I was talking about what the books say. You should do this, this, and this. But then I was not up there. So even you may be, but then people may not appreciate that approach at their level. I mean, we certainly want the inspiration that they get from our own practice. Like, if you're inspired to do your own practice, people will be inspired by your talking to them, and then you're inspired to talk about, which, like this guy was inspired about politics and, you know, our ability to vote. Hey, I don't know why you're not voting, you know, you're a citizen, you know, this and that. And I got inspired, so I'm going to vote next time, but my plan is to actually, tell him that and give him something spiritual and see what happens. But you have to be inspired by your sadhana. You have to be inspired in your own practice to be a more effective preacher. That really helps. Even if you may not the philosophy, may not know the verses and everything, I mean, people don't care so many times. Who cares what it says here and there? I want to see how you live, how you feel the energy, you know, every day. If I see you, you're not so happy and you're tired, then I may not be inspired by whatever you say.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Any more questions? Go ahead, Shinder. Abu.
I remember there was a BTG when Prabhupada was still around, and he said they were advocating increase my business, increase my material existence, enhance it. And Prabhupada said, no, this shouldn't be put in our literature. We're not encouraging this. And I remember saying, ours is to give association, not take association, because their association is the lower modes of nature. But that just came to mind. But thanks for relating your experience in the miserable material world that you seem to have to confront more than most of the devotees living in the temple, except for the devotees who go out on book distribution and they see the face of reality. Yeah. you know, the miserable conditions.
I wish I could distribute as many books as the devotees here. My book distribution is not so good, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I remember, you know, like you're relating to trying to get people encouraged in Krishna consciousness. I remember Chanaka Pandit said, he said, what good is scripture for a man with no intellect? So they don't really have any philosophical understanding at first, but like the chanting is always encouraged, because you know, that's our process. But thank you.
Thank you for your comment, Jitendra Prabhu.
Thank you, Arjunacharya Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. You're welcome.
And I actually wanted to give an observation on the verse itself and Srila Prabhupada, that it was, he really jumped at me, that Maharaj Parikshit was anxious and was becoming worried about Krishna, which I think is quite remarkable, because he was listening, like us, you know, he was already, it's the historical events, you know, he's listening the narration of the pastimes of Krishna, but he became so absorbed that he actually was feeling anxious for Krishna. And Sukadev Goswami have to pacify him by telling him, no, everything is all right, because right, Krishna right. is present, you know, nothing is going to happen. You know, and by taking shelter like that. So I thought it was quite something that Maharaj Parikshit was so absorbed in the hearing and chanting that he actually was feeling like Nanda Maharaj or like that. You know.
So yes. I thought. Wow, it's a very important point that I actually missed, but it's a great point. Like, you know, Maharaj Parikshit was. Forgot about his own impending death coming. He just worried about Krishna and his devotees, and he forgot about his own, oh, you know, the snake is going to come and bite me. He was completely absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna, and that's the goal we aspire for, to not be thinking about these material needs that may be fulfilled. They will be fulfilled according to what Krishna desires, but to be completely aloof from the material needs and just completely focused on Krishna, that's a very good point. And Maharaj Parikshit is a perfect example of how to be absorbed in this Krishna consciousness in the last stage of his life. It's amazing. I mean, I'm glad you brought up this point, Prabhu. I'm sorry I missed it. It's a great point.
In one sense, people in general, when they go to see movies, they get into experiencing certain emotions and things like that. You know, people cry or people get really scared. So because of the absorption, so it's good that somehow or other we get absorbed in the presence of Krishna to start to feel all these transcendental emotions, you know.
Yes, it's a great example. We should be just absorbing in Krishna consciousness, like when, you know, how other people are absorbing when they watch a movie, right? Wow. Yeah, that's the goal. Just chant and be with devotees, talk about Krishna, and then you'll be absorbed. Well, thank you so much for your comment, Subhav Prabhu. Any other questions? It's a little thing late. Thank you for your attention, and once again, sorry for my shortcomings in this presentation. By your mercy, you can improve my presentations in the future. Thank you for letting me speak tonight, today. Jai Balaram, Jai.
So, Hare Krishna, dear Prabhus and Matajis. And I'm sure we all know that the festival of Balaram Jayanti is going to start at 11. His Grace Balaram Prabhu is going to give the katha on Lord Balaram's pastimes. And then after the lecture, there's going to be a nice aarti and also a nice feast. So let's be on time and observe this most auspicious occasion of Lord Balaram's appearance day. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes. 11 is the lecture. And I think there's a schedule there posted, but the Arctic, and then I don't know if it's going to be Abhishek, but I think...